Okay, you're listening to CRKC today, out to be the only station in Ireland with a dedicated astronomy slot. And joining me is David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine, who's been busy getting the March edition off to the lot happening in our skies this week, from Jupiter blazing beside the moon to the chance of an aurora tonight. And David, you are very welcome, as always, to Kilkenny Today and Community Radio Kilkenny City.
Thank you very much, Eugene.
Now, let's start with that March edition. You've just sent the March edition of Astronomy Ireland to the printers. Just tell us, what are some of the maybe the big highlights readers can look forward to in this issue?
Well, people who read the magazine regularly may remember back in December that the brightest star in Leo, called Regulus, went behind the moon. And it's going to do it again on the very end of March. It'll happen around sunset. It'll reappear from behind the moon after the sun has gone down. So we have diagrams showing what that will look like. You'll need a pair of binoculars to see it this time because of that twilight. But it's a very rare event to see one of the brightest stars in the sky go behind the moon. So I can't wait.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about this spectacular pairing, David. Jupiter blazing near the moon on Thursday. You're describing these as the two brightest objects in the night sky. What exactly will people see when they look up at dusk?
Yeah, I mean, even if you're out walking the dog and you look up at the moon, you're going to see this brilliant star, in quotes, blazing just to the left of it. That, of course, is Jupiter. It's in the evening sky for the next few months. In fact, we had a fantastic Jupiter watch there recently. We could see the great red spot in the giant telescope, mm-hmm. and even detail in the cloud belts, plus all the moons. So when you look at it on Thursday with the naked eye, all you'll see is a very bright dot, but about 10 times brighter than the brightest real star in the sky. So to have the two brightest things in the night sky, Jupiter and the moon, close to each other, is it's as spectacular as it gets. Save maybe a total eclipse. So we want people to be ready for that. They'll be reasonably close the night before and the night after, but the closest is actually Thursday night. So let's hope we have clear skies. And, you know, you can snap this with your smartphone. People don't realize how powerful their camera phones are these days. And we want to publish your pictures. We're very much a beginner's magazine, so astronomy.ie is the website. The contact us section will show you where to send your pictures.
Okay. Now, you've said they'll appear close at dusk and even closer as the hours pass, with the closest approach to around 5 a.m. For those not planning on an all-nighter, when's the best realistic time to step outside and catch the show?
Well, any time at all, because they're not going to, like Regulus and the Moon, pass one behind the other. So you see them. If you watch them as soon as it gets dark, which is about now, 6 o'clockish, you'll see them reasonably close together. And if you wait until midnight, they won't be that much closer together. So all night long, as far as the naked eye is concerned, if you do want to see them, they're very closest. Technically, you have to wait up till they're setting over in the west, if you're around the 5 o'clock mark, or maybe you're getting up earlier. You'll be up at 5 o'clock. Do have a look out first thing. But really, you don't need to stay up extremely late. If you happen to be up late, great, you'll see them a little bit closer. Other than that, everybody in the country can see them at the same time from dusk till nearly dawn.
Now, as you said, David, you recently held a Jupiter Watch event. For anyone lucky enough to have a telescope or thinking of getting one, what kind of detail can you actually see on Jupiter with your own eyes?
Yeah, well, people may have seen that we emailed out to the members of Astronomy Ireland last week a picture we actually took on the night. Now, it's very hard to photograph Jupiter as good as your eye can see, because your eye's got your brain behind it, processing the image, and the image is wobbling about a bit. Occasionally it freezes, and you get glimpses of fine detail. That's what you remember. You don't remember the blurry bits, fortunately. So there's a picture, and you can see the red spot very easily, and you can just about see some of the cloud features. That'll be going into the next issue of the magazine, not the March one, a bit late for that. That's already packed full of pictures from around the country. And if you've got your own telescope, this is what you'll see. And now is a fantastic time to view Jupiter, because it's extremely high up. It's not always this high up. The height it is when it's at its best varies over a 12-year period. And this is the best we're going to see till 2036, 10 years from now. So if you've got a telescope, it's going to give you the sharpest views you've ever had of Jupiter if you live this far north in Ireland like we do. So anyone who's got a telescope, dust it off. Get it out every clear night. Look at Jupiter. In the magazine, there's a list of times when the great red spot is in the middle of the disk. It's only visible maybe an hour before and an hour after because Jupiter is spinning so fast, once every 10 hours. So you have to look at the right time to see the red spot. And we're planning to run another watch for the moon. We always do one around the equinox. But Jupiter will be in the sky as well. And I can't see why we're not going to point telescopes at it then as well. So, you know, these first few months of 2026 are prime Jupiter viewing time for the next decade. And remember, when the moon on Thursday is near Jupiter, it's only a line of sight effect. Jupiter looked like a dot, the moon a big disk. But in fact, Jupiter is 40 times wider than the moon. It's just that it's hundreds of times, thousands of times actually further away. And so it looks smaller just because of the relative distance. So it's not, they're not really close to each other in the sky. They're not going to touch each other, infect each other in any particular way. They just look spectacular with a chance alignment.
Now, back to tonight. We also have the moon sitting beside the famous Pleiades, the Seven Sisters star cluster. For listeners who might not be familiar, what is the Pleiades and why is this such an amazing sight in binoculars?
Yeah, well, anyone who's been up in a dark sky will have probably seen a little hazy patch of stars, a clump of stars. If you look at them directly, you can start to count them. It depends how good your eyesight is. My aging eyes, I'm lucky if I can see five of them. But seven sisters in ancient times, without all the light pollution they had, they on average counted about seven. Some people can see even more. When you aim your binoculars at them, there's 40, 50, or 60 of them. We know with giant telescopes about 1,000 members of the actual cluster. But binoculars will show dozens. And when the moon's near them, unfortunately, the bright light of the moon swamps all the faint ones, and it'll be hard to see the cluster. But they get very close, about one moon diameter apart tonight. So if you're looking at the moon, aim your binoculars at it. You'll easily see the top five stars that anyone can see with your binoculars. You may see a few fainter ones as well. If there's no haze in the sky, that's the ideal way to see it, because the haze will scatter the moon's bright light and spoil the view, like trying to watch a TV screen when the sun's shining in on the screen during the day. So hopefully we'll get great results. Somebody in the country will have clear skies. I'm hoping to see it myself. I'll have the binoculars ready to go as soon as it gets dark, until about 1 a.m. when they go down in the west.
Now, you also say that Uranus is actually near the moon and the Pleiades as well, though it's much dimmer. How can listeners maybe use binoculars and the magazine diagram to track it down, especially if they've never seen Uranus before?
Yeah, I mean, I reckon probably one in a million people or less have ever seen Uranus live in a telescope, because it's just at the edge of naked eye visibility. Keen-sighted people might be able to see it. A pair of binoculars shows it quite well, but you'll need to know which faint star it is. And the moon and the Pleiades are signposting it tonight. So if you've got the diagram in the magazine, you'll see the seven sisters, you'll see the moon, and you can see where Uranus is relative to those. If you check the map with your binoculars, go back and forth, you should be able to identify which little faint star is actually Uranus, and you can become a member of that woman club.
Wow. Now, the moon is at first quarter phase this week. Why is that phase, David, particularly good for viewing craters and mountains, even with just binoculars?
Yeah, people have already been sending in pictures of the moon. Lovely one came in, a very thin crescent moon just earlier today. And what happens is, when the moon is new, it's in line with the sun. Maybe we get an eclipse. We'd be very close to getting a full total eclipse in August. But a very deep partial one. And so you can't see the moon unless it does eclipse the sun. Then you won't see the moon. You're technically just getting the sun eclipsed. So when it comes away from the sun, it's a thin crescent. And it's hard to see the detail because you're looking at the edge of the moon. And when the moon is full, you'd think, oh, that's a great time to view it. But it's not really, because the sunlight is coming down from straight overhead. And there's no shadows being cast. The moon's over 2,000 miles across. And the mountains are only a few miles high. So you don't really see the mountains because of how high they are. You see them because of the long shadows they cast. And the ideal time to see the moon casting these shadows is the first quarter, which happens tomorrow. So today, tomorrow, Wednesday, would be perfect timing for looking at the moon. Near where the dark side meets the sunlit side, that's called the terminator, and that's where you'll see the longest shadows. And you can see the craters, and often the mountains inside the craters that are casting shadows across the crater floor. There are real mountains on the moon as well that you can see casting their shadows. And all manner of intricate details. Because the moon is so close, it will fill your telescope's entire field of view. And you can even start to get great views with a pair of binoculars, especially if you hold them really steady. I can see the main craters on the moon. So we suggest everybody start viewing the moon. You could even try holding your camera phone against the eyepiece of a pair of binoculars. A bit tricky if you're holding the two of them up, a bit wobbly. But if you've got a telescope on a stand, much easier. You can hold the camera at the eyepiece, and people have done that and sent in great pictures of the moon showing not just the craters, but the mountains inside the craters. And I've been looking at the moon for decades through telescopes. It never gets old. There's always lots of detail to see.
And I'll tell you, it just reminds me, it just brought back a memory for me that in 1984, 85, when I was a member of the Defence Forces, I was based in Lebanon, and we had these massive binoculars. The length of them were probably maybe 14 or 15 inches long on a tripod, and you were monitoring activity out in the wadis and stuff like that. And I remember taking a photograph with a Nikon camera. I remember taking one through the eyepiece of one of them, and the shot that came out was just incredible of the moon. So it is possible, and especially if you can get a pair of binoculars on a tripod.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, if you're enterprising enough, you can prop them up on walls. Even, you know, get a woolly jumper or a towel, pop it on top of a wall, put the binoculars on top of that. That'll enable you to tilt them up and down a bit. And then you've just got to maneuver your smartphone into position. Your smartphone, basically, its lens is like your eyeball. So wherever you put your eyeball and whatever your eyeball sees, that's what your smartphone's going to see. So you can actually see through your binoculars, even without a stand. But you sound very lucky there, because large binoculars are really small telescopes strapped
absolutely
side to side.
Absolutely.
Incredible detail that way.
Now, moving to NASA's return to the moon, David, there's huge excitement globally with NASA targeting next month to send the first crew around the moon since 1972, 4 years ago. What is the goal of this particular mission, David?
Yeah, well, this is about NASA going back to the moon and then staying there, whereas in the 60s it was all about getting to the moon to beat the Russians. Once that was done, the scientific yield was important. But the amount of money it cost, it was just too expensive to keep going once they'd won that race. Now it's about going back and having moon bases, sustaining colonies on the moon, and using a stepping stone to Mars. So the three Artemis missions, the first one was just to send the rocket, a huge new untested rocket, around the moon, see if it worked. There were about 6 months of delays before that one got launched, but it did eventually go around the moon successfully and came back. And the heat shield survived landing in the Earth's atmosphere. That's good. Now let's put people on board, which is what this second mission, Artemis 2, is about, risking human lives, as it were. Can the craft sustain human lives for about a 10-day mission? And when they go around the moon this time, they actually go quite far beyond the moon, and they'll be the most distant humans ever to leave the Earth, because the Apollo missions that went in the 60s and 70s, they didn't go as far as that. And then Artemis 3, which will probably go up 2028. Donald Trump wants it to happen during his term of office so he can talk to them from the Oval Room like Richard Nixon did when Armstrong landed on the moon. But we'll see. There's been another delay. Last week, NASA thought they could launch March the 6th, and over the weekend they found helium leak problems, and they've delayed it to at least April. And remember, this mission was originally hoped to go up in early February. Now it's been delayed to March, and then it's been delayed to April. Do we see Artemis 1 with 6 months of delays coming up again? I hope not.
Okay, and they're even rolling out the enormous rocket back off the launch pad, which is a huge operation in itself. What exactly has happened? You mentioned there was a leak. There was a leak there, didn't you?
Yeah, this shows how serious it is. They roll out this 3,000-ton unfueled rocket from the building where they can work on it out to the launch pad, ready to light the rockets and let it rip. And now they're going to wheel it back. So this isn't something they can fix out on the launch pad. They're going to have to get it back into the garage, as it were, and fix it. And depends how big the problem is, whether they'll make that April launch date. And there are four astronauts who keep having to get ready to go up on this rocket and then have to stand down. So definitely standing down for a month. I think April the 1st, no joke, is the first window they have. Whether NASA can make that, if it's a simple fix for this helium issue they've got, that won't be a problem. If they find a bigger issue, then all bets are off.
Okay, and finally, David, you correctly predicted the minor aurora last night, and there's a chance again this evening. For listeners in Kilkenny and around Ireland, how do we watch for an aurora properly, and what direction should we face, and what time should we look, and do we need special equipment? Seek and answer them all in a minute.
Last year there was about a dozen aurora visible from Ireland. That's with the Irish weather. There would have been three or four times more if it was always clear. And we've had several alerts on at least one good display in January so far this year. And we expect that to keep going. So, yeah, we always predict if there's going to be an aurora or not on our social media. We just posted it on social media a few minutes ago before the show began. Mm-hmm. And yesterday we did this. We said there's due to be an aurora. It came a bit earlier than expected. Unfortunately, that was still the wee hours of this morning, and we've got no reports of anyone being up watching that.
Okay.
But there's another chance tonight, it now seems. Aurora are difficult to predict exactly, but, you know, if you've got a clear sky, you'd be unwise not to keep checking it for glows. Use your smartphone again. Put into night mode. Take a long exposure. You'll see the colours better than your eyes can.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there.
It's distant streetlights. Or a real aurora.
Okay, leave it there. That's David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine. If you'd like to see detailed sky charts, learn how to spot Uranus, or get involved in next month's big public moonwatch event, you can follow Astronomy Ireland on social media and pick up the March edition of the magazine. And remember, if it's happening in the skies above Kilkenny, you'll hear about it here on KC. David, thanks very much indeed.
And my pleasure.